We start today's program with K-12 education in Arizona, as many districts in the state have started the school year or are about to. Earlier this week, State Schools Superintendent John Hoopenthal said a lot of schools have made huge strides, and it's time for the legislature to provide more funds.
The message we are taking forward is that an investment, another dollar in education, unlike many other states, another dollar in education, we're going to give you $10 worth of value. That's our message that we're bringing out there.
Hoopenthal also said 20% of schools in the state have improved their academic performance over the last year. Another 63% maintained their grades in Arizona's A2F system. So how much more needs to be done? Where can the greatest progress be made? I'm joined by Dale Frost, Director of Education Innovation for the Brewer Administration. Dale, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's briefly get your reaction to the A through F grades that came out this week. What should we interpret from that?
So one of the headlines has been that proficiency rates haven't gone up, but the number of A and B schools have gone up. One of the reasons why has been that not only are we measuring how many students are passing, but we're looking at improvement. And so students are improving, they're moving forward, but there are some discussions that need to be made as we move to a new assessment about what should be the right number of A and B schools. And are we measuring quality? Because the purpose of the A through F grades are to help parents make good choices about where to take their kids in a school choice environment.
Now, you've been involved for the last several years with the administration as far as education policy advising. Mm-hmm. You've been involved in some of the major things that have been taken. In a general sense, what are some things you think Arizona has gotten much better at, and what are some areas that are still a challenge?
So 2010 was a watershed year for education reform, and a lot of good things that are still that our school system is still working on implementing that over time will help kids across the board. First, we made it clear that we're going to be expecting kids to read by third grade. So starting this last year, those who scored in the bottom category on AIMS, who showed that they clearly couldn't read, are going to be retained and provide extra support so that they're not falling further and further behind as they move forward. A few years after that, Governor Brewer championed $40 million extra in the budget to help target interventions for these kids so that they can, so they're not held back, that they're reading by third grade. Another important one is that we raised our standards, and Arizona's College and Career Ready standards have been controversial. And I would argue that there's been a fair amount of misinformation about where these came from. The point of these standards were that, let me give you one data point that illustrates this. A student can be functionally illiterate and pass fourth grade reading on AIMS. And we want a state assessment to actually measure. If they're saying you're at grade level, then you are, you know, on track to succeed in post-secondary and in the workforce. And that's the whole point of standardized testing, to give parents a barometer to how their kids are doing. They want that assurance. And it helps administrators and teachers also know if they're on the right track. And AIMS wasn't really doing that. So we raised our standards. AIMS, the last year of AIMS was this last May. And so we're moving towards approving through the State Board of Education a new assessment that holds promise to measure students' ability to think and process and solve problems better. And it will be an online assessment, and it holds a lot of promise that way. So another big innovation in 2010 was we wanted to reinvent teacher and principal evaluations so that not only did they show that they can help students to learn for an hour with the principal in the back of the classroom, but that they receive feedback and they show student improvement through data. Mm-hmm. And that the schools have been working very hard to get that done. There have been bumps in the road, and we'll still need to work on that system moving forward. But it really is providing feedback that's valuable to teachers and principals.
Dale, do you think Arizona is starting from a lower point than many? Of course, there are always these surveys that say based on per capita spending and also an issue just where the state ranks. Did we start at a lower level, and do you see concrete progress that is understandable to most folks, whether it's parents, teachers, people involved in schools, people who aren't involved in schools?
So most of the rankings that people hear about are based on funding, and we are on the lower end for funding. That is certainly true. One of the reasons why is that we're a growing state, that we have more kids per capita, It's certainly easier when you have more taxpayers to per child to fund at a higher rate, and we're still going to be growing. And so that's going to be a challenge. The governor, through even though we had a budget crisis, she championed Prop 100 to protect education, and it would have been a lot worse had Prop 100 not passed. And she's been championing adding funds into education. We aren't so far back when it comes to outcomes, but we still have a long way to go. One of the great indicators of success is that, you know, thousands more students are graduating from high school now than they were when Governor Brewer came in. But we know that high school graduation isn't enough, that we need to get them, which is one of the things that my office, the Governor's Office of Education Innovation, is looking at. Is so we've gotten more kids to graduation, but not more entering post-secondary. And we know that that is a requirement in the 21st century economy. You don't have to have a four-year degree, but some sort of training to be able to have a living wage, one that you can raise a family on.
And how much of that is even built into the whole competitiveness aspect of it, how where education and business cross, this idea that more businesses are going to want to come here if they're convinced that Arizona's education system is on the way up.
And one of the first things that CEOs ask is not about tax climate or regulatory. It's about how are the schools, because their employees are interested in that. So I think we have one of the things that we have been trying to overcome is a messaging gap, that there are great things happening, that there are excellent schools in Arizona. Some of the best schools in the nation are here. But we do have a challenge that, on average, our students aren't doing as well, and we're moving forward in a number of good ways, but there's still a lot to be done.
Dale, I do have to come back to the funding question, only because there's this battle coming based on a judicial ruling that more than $300 million in the very near future, Arizona's going to have to find a way, presumably based on an appeal. We know that's coming. But if the state is that far behind, how much of a difference? We know that spending doesn't solve problems, but if we talk about the state spending less than it has, do you think, based on some of the innovative ideas you've talked about, will this extra $100, $300 million make a big difference?
We certainly hope it does. This is far from over, and even at the trial court level, it hasn't yet been decided. But if the courts do force the state to pay that money the defendants are looking for, it will be devastating on the state's budget. We'll be back to very much where we were when Governor Brewer took over, which is very concerning. I think the schools have they have a lot of need. So do many other parts of state government, and there's only so much that can go around. So it is very disconcerting. If they do receive those funds, my hope is that we don't repeat what's happened time and again through the decades, which is increases to funding based purely on enrollment and no sizable increase in achievement. Though there have been a lot of mandates passed on schools and a lot of need for those resources. So our hope is that if resources are put in the schools, that they are used wisely and judiciously to move the system forward rather than just doing more of the same.
Dale, very briefly, wanted to ask you a quick question related to standardized testing. Mm-hmm. Just so people understand sort of what's going on now that Ames has gone past, what's the decision-making time frame on this, and what are some of your thoughts on what's to come?
So Ames, May of this last year was the last administration of Ames. That was the last year that high school students were required to pass Ames. 2 years ago, we passed a bill that phased that out. We knew that it would be unfair for students who hadn't yet had a lot of experience under the new standards and not seeing the new test to have that requirement. The State Board of Education is going out through a competitive bidding process right now to select a new assessment. And they are slated to select a new assessment by end of September, early October. So the schools will know what the new assessment will be. And then we will have the administration of that assessment in springtime. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unanswered questions, though. So A through F letter grades was mentioned, just came out. How the new assessment will be used to calculate A through F letter grades has not yet been decided, and there are challenging transition issues over the next year or so, because, for example, we won't be able to measure improvement because we will only have one administration of a test. Mm-hmm. How do you know how well they would have done if they only have 1 year when they took it? So the state board is wrestling with those questions. What we're trying to do is balance accountability so that great teachers, great leaders, great schools are rewarded, at the same time being fair through that process.
Dale Frost, Director of Education Innovation for the Brewer Administration. Dale, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
For another perspective, I turn now to Andrew Morrill, President of the Arizona Education Association. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
What's your reaction initially to the Arizona school grades unveiled this week? What did it tell you?
Well, it's a snapshot in time, as they are every year, because the letter grades still are calculated overwhelmingly on a standardized test score, a single standardized test score. And so we're going to hold true to what we know about standardized test scores. They provide some information. We are probably better advised to be looking at trends. For instance, I think it's positive that we're seeing more third graders in Arizona reading at grade level. Third grade literacy, we know, is a very important benchmark. We're seeing more A schools, and that's good. But I think overall, the message, in contrast to your previous guest, is that schools, educators, and students are succeeding in spite of Arizona's policymakers, not with Arizona's policymakers as a committed partner. When we look at what has happened to funding in this state, I applaud the work of those in our schools because they're getting miraculous results in a failed funding policy.
Andrew, if that funding policy is forced to change, perhaps by this ruling or in other aspects of things, $317 million, where should that money go? How big an impact would it make?
It has a big impact. It should go right back into the formulas that have been gouged over the last 5 years, the gouges that the governor has signed on to with each budget and that the legislative leadership brought to her. We have districts that are funding full-day kindergarten because it's good for students, but at massive costs to their own capacity. They are choosing between, for instance, funding full-day kindergarten and controlling class sizes or compensating their employees fairly. Most teachers in Arizona are paying to be in the profession because they are now earning less than they were in 2008, just as the state is spending less in per-pupil funding than it was in 2008. It would be huge to have that. The legislature and the governor are appealing that court ruling, and I think that's shameful in light of the funding reductions that we've seen happen in the last 5 years.
How closely are you watching what happens with the next governor and how the state's economy does and finds a way to spend more on education in addition, perhaps, to this shortfall that the judge decided on and the Arizona Supreme Court as well?
Well, we're watching very closely because what we've had in the last few years is a wealth of rhetoric and a impoverished funding and strategy system to support that. We are long on goals and outcomes. We need a governor and other leaders elected who will stand with our public school system as a priority. Let's consider this. In a choice-rich state with more public and private choice options than just about any other state in the country, almost 90% of parents who enroll students in our schools in Arizona choose to do so in their neighborhood district public schools. But this choice is not being honored. This choice is barely even being noticed by too many policymakers. So a governor that stood with the number one choice parents make and said our investment needs to follow that choice would be a welcome and refreshing change. And then we need policies that are not punishing, labeling, and dividing school systems, but supporting education so that students are graduating with high standards and ready to succeed, whether they go to college or enter a career immediately.
What are some changes you'd like to see to get kids reading well at a younger age? And another important thing, limiting the number of dropouts, because that's something the Brewer administration has looked into as well.
Early targeting of literacy still remains one of the best strategies and one of the most sound investments. So we've got to focus and continue to focus concentration on third grade literacy, early algebra mastery as early as is reasonably possible, good analytical skills, but also a broad curriculum, which has really been challenged in two ways. overuse of standardized test scores in certain areas mean a loss of other areas of the curriculum. And in particular, when funding cuts have been as drastic as they have been, you have many schools across the state that have been forced to close or greatly curtail their fine arts programs, a lot of their electives, some of their career and technical ed programs that have been cut. And what we know is that a wide-ranging, broad curriculum touches on student interests, introduces them to all kinds of academic areas, and boosts their motivation to do well in school. So those are some things that we need to focus on.
Andrew, finally, I guess I'd like to ask you, what area or areas have you seen the greatest progress? As you mentioned, miracles being performed even with low funding, but get into that a little bit more in terms of steps where you think there have been really nice areas of progress in the past 5 to 10 years even. And what are the biggest challenges beyond funding, which I know is an enormous challenge, but let's, beyond funding, what's the greatest challenge that Arizona educators and the system has to face?
We're educating a very diverse population in Arizona. We have some of the broadest, most diverse fields of students in our 1.1 million students attending public schools. We have a mobile population in many areas of the state. We have a problem with students jumping from district to district or coming in from out of state. So there is a lack of continuity in the education experience that they receive, and yet removing those students, I'm a little cautious to say that our English language proficiency rates are genuine, because I'm concerned about the way we assess that. But we still are moving students through an ELL program best designed at schools. We are trying everything we can at the classroom level and school level to run graduation programs, programs that target at-risk populations of students and keep them mindful of a track that does not end halfway through high school, but continues through high school and anticipates college. So we're seeing a lot of great things happen. Differentiated instruction, which simply means that as a classroom teacher, and I taught high school English for 17 years, I knew how to reach the students in my classroom. I had time to do so. I had a wealth of resources so that if one tactic I was using was not working, I could switch gears and try another approach. Class sizes that are manageable help teachers achieve that kind of differentiated custom, if you will, instruction to students. Mm-hmm. So despite some great odds in the demographics and the impact of the economy on students, let's remember that the economy impacts the families of those students. Mm-hmm. We're still seeing great things happening in our public schools.
Andrew Morrill is president of the Arizona Education Association. Andrew, thank you for the time today.
Thank you so much.